This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Nice. You should see the party going on just before we go on the
Every
air.
Every time it is my pre-show ritual. Raise the roof. Get in the mood to do the best hour.
Welcome.
Wednesdays with Denise. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. Yourself?
Good.
Yeah, nice.
I had a good weekend. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. I had a great weekend, actually. 49ers won, you know.
Oh, is that croquet?
Football. Wow.
I know, right? Well, I actually did some political things this weekend, and I just wanted to talk really quick before we go to our very special guest here.
Yes.
But there was the Oregon Grassroots Unity event that was this weekend.
Yes.
And that was a stellar rock in the house success. There were probably 400 motivated, enthusiastic, passionate grassroots activists representing everything from Timber Unity to Medical Freedom to Slavic Vote to Oregon Firearms Federation. That place was rocking. The energy in that room was, it was physical. You could feel it. And the networking that was going on, and it was a beautiful thing to behold.
Awesome.
I was honored to have been a part of it and to be there. And I'm so impressed with, they kind of pulled this together really quickly. So major, major kudos to the organizers for Oregon Grassroots United. My understanding is that there's going to be more of these kind of events.
Yeah.
So it's really heartening when you're a conservative or you're a Republican in Oregon, that you don't feel like you have a voice. And so when you get together with like-minded people, it's really spectacular.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we do have a special guest in the studio. And one of the things about this show is that it is local. So our guest today is Jan Kailuvite, who is running for Ward 1 Salem City Council. Jan, welcome to Wednesdays with Denise.
Hi, Denise. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So you're running for office.
Yes, I am.
You're running for city council. Before we launch into that and we learn about you as a candidate, tell us a little bit about you as the person, as the man. Who's Jan Kailuvite?
Well, I'm an immigrant. I have moved to this country just over 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I am local. I live a couple of minutes away from my office. I walk to work,
nice,
which is close to downtown. I'm very local, and I'm married. I have a 10-year-old at home. And life is good in Salem.
Yes, life is good in Salem. Salem is a great city. And Ward 1, it is that downtown. It's older neighborhoods,
yes,
older homes,
yes, it is.
Historical homes. What is included in Ward 1? I know it's changed a little bit since the last census, I believe. There's more to it now than just the downtown area.
Well, the last census was quite a ways ago. The next one is coming up this year.
Yeah.
But it includes downtown, mm-hmm, so the area around the malls, going up to the Salem Hospital on the south side, and then east over to about 25th Street,
okay,
and then north up to about Pine Street.
And then
downtown and adjacent areas.
And then you have a smidge of West Salem as well.
Yes, the lowlands of West Salem.
Okay. So the issues that are of concern to West Salem residents are of concern to you.
Yes, they are.
As they are to all of Salem. So, running for office is a big commitment. This is not your first rodeo. So let's talk a little bit about your past experience with that and then lessons learned and what you might be doing a little bit differently strategically this time.
So I ran for the same position 4 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and I lost, unfortunately. I have watched the city since then,
yeah,
and I have not liked the developments,
yeah,
in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And so that's what's motivating me doing this again.
Interesting. I was doing some research on you again, and I went back to that race, and I looked at the local paper had actually endorsed you. And the reasons that they endorsed,
yes,
you were you have a fiscal background. You're kind of a money guy and an auditing background.
Not quite.
Okay.
There are two things. I worked for over a decade for the Department of Revenue,
mm-hmm,
and then I also served on the City of Salem Budget Committee,
okay,
as a citizen member for 7 years.
Oh wow. Okay. So you bring a wealth of experience that skill set would be very appreciated in a Salem City Councilor.
I believe so.
Yeah. So this time around, you decided to throw your hat in the ring again. That seat, obviously, the incumbent is not running again, so it's an open seat technically.
Yes.
So what have you been up to since you decided to toss your hat in the ring? What's been your day like as far as campaigning?
Well, at this point of the game, lots of making alliances, reaching out to interested groups. Those might be neighborhood associations, mm-hmm. business groups that operate downtown. I just got an invitation today to meet with one of the unions. Mm-hmm. So all sorts of stakeholders over the whole political spectrum.
And yeah, these are nonpartisan seats. And so I would imagine you've got all political stripes and all political groups who have a vested interest in the city of Salem and Ward 1 want to know who you are.
Yes.
So you've been getting a lot of invitations?
Yes.
So how have the crowds been? How receptive have people been to you and to your campaign?
This is Salem, small community. Mm-hmm. You often know people mm-hmm. or you know people who know people. I like to say it's 2 degrees of separation in Salem. It's 5 everywhere else. It's only 2 in Salem. And I think that is awesome because there's a personal feel to it. You know, even if you're campaigning against an opponent, my last opponent lives just 6 houses down from me.
Yeah.
You know people, you bump into each other professionally at the mall. And so I've liked that. But at this point of the campaign, it's lots of meeting people. Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of businesses open, businesses closed, new alliances are formed. So there are some of the same players from 4 years ago mm-hmm. and then the whole new players.
So what questions when you're knocking on doors, you're talking to people, are there any issues or questions that bubble up again and again and again? Any trends you're seeing and you kind of take the temperature of the community? What's on people's minds?
Yes. So the city has done an annual survey for the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing from people in the neighborhood very closely matches what the city heard too. And there was 2 of the issues that come up. And one is traffic, mm-hmm. Infrastructure, and the other one is homelessness.
And both of those seem to be, homelessness especially, seems to be much more in sharp relief. You really, really see it. You've seen what's going on. There was a special meeting last night at the Salem City Council where they were discussing that and talking about Pringle Hall, which we can go into later if we want to, if we get there. But people are really seeing this now, where you really had not seen it before in Salem as much. To where it is, it's very visible now. And then the same thing with the third bridge, with traffic downtown, congestion. Yes. Are you sensing a higher level of frustration from people?
Well, so the current bridge or 2 bridges are smack in the middle of the ward. So for us in our ward, that is probably more important than maybe in East Salem, mm-hmm. especially if there are folks that live there and just get on I-5 to drive to Portland. Yeah. They may never cross the bridge for months. Mm-hmm. But people downtown, West Salem, we cross the bridge a lot. So for us, that's a big issue. The traffic downtown is a big issue.
And it seems one little thing, you know, a fender bender, God forbid an accident where somebody's hurt or, you know, traffic is backed up for hours and hours. I mean, and it goes all the way back. I've seen it go all the way back to Bellevue by the hospital where it's snaking all the way around and it's getting onto 12th Street. It backs up so much.
Yeah. 3-4 days ago, I believe there was a fender bender on the bridge. And one of my friends who still works for the Department of Revenue called me. He's like, can I hang out at your house? I can't make it home.
Oh, wow.
And this was about 6 o'clock. Now, my wife and I were already out on a date downtown eating. So I wasn't home for him to hang out with. But he was looking for a place to go until traffic clears and he can actually make it home. That fortunately doesn't happen every day yet, but it has happened several times in recent history. And yeah.
And it does seem like it's just getting worse, especially since we talk about, I think, what is the projected growth for Salem? 60,000 more people coming in over the next
10 years.
10 years, yeah. I think. So it's not going to get any better.
Nope. So what would your vote have been on the third bridge?
I would have voted to continue the work.
That's
definitely. Because
that was just to continue the process. It was
that's all it was.
That's
basically.
All it was,
yes.
To continue moving on. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to dive into some issues a little bit deeper on the other side of the break. Right now, you're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, everybody, to Wednesdays with Denise. Our special guest today is Jan Kailuvait, who is running for Ward 1 Salem City Council.
Spell that out.
K-A-I.
No, the first name too.
Jan.
Jan.
Like Jan.
Like Jan. See? I totally got that wrong.
And then Kailuweit is K-A-I-L-U-W-E-I-T.
That's right.
Rock.
Perfect.
I got it. And yes. I love pronouncing it, Kailuweit. I like saying it. It just rolls off the tongue. It's a nice name to say. So we were talking before we took our break about some of the pressing issues, things you're hearing on the doorstep when you go out and talk to people. Like last night we mentioned that the city of Salem had a special meeting. They declared a housing emergency, which means increasing temporary shelter options for those experiencing homelessness. The declaration of the emergency allows the council to temporarily suspend certain land use provisions, increasing capacity at some shelters for women and allowing car camping. What are your thoughts on that? And then also, what are your observations? Because you live downtown where I think that where it's the problem is the most visible, I think, in that area. So first of all, what are your thoughts on what happened last night and then your observations from just being a resident?
So first of all, I would commend the city for taking having a very bold proposal.
Mm-hmm.
That was very gutsy.
Mm-hmm. You think the Pringle Hall?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a nice facility.
Yes.
It's a fairly recent facility.
Mm-hmm.
And to even talk about possibly moving a few homeless folks in there is a very gutsy move. So it didn't pass for various reasons, but just the fact that we're talking about it, I'd give it two opposable thumbs up.
Oh, I actually watched the testimony last night, and there was very passionate, kind of heart-wrenching, a lot of it, testimony from both sides, from individuals.
Yes.
Who might use it, who are homeless at the moment, but then also from the residents who are scared. And they really had very valid concerns about increase in crime, not feeling safe, garbage, people.
Yes.
Sort of, you know, leaving their belongings on there. So I think in the end, I think the city made the right decision. Again, this is such a complex issue. So you do live in that area. What do you see on a day-to-day basis? And then let's talk about maybe some ideas that you have for making it better.
Well, you know, Denise, there are so many facets to this.
Yeah.
I do see homeless folks walk past my house.
Mm-hmm.
I see them from my living room window.
Mm-hmm.
I occasionally see them camp across the street. I've seen state police, because the state buildings are right across. I've seen the state police occasionally clear it, send them somewhere else. But the issue is like a beach ball you're trying to hold underwater. It keeps popping up.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to puncture the ball.
Mm. So, you know, having witnessed this, you've been in the city for a while. I mean, I'm sure you've got ideas. Everybody, you know, bringing a lot of people to the table, I think, is a good idea, bringing lots of points of views. What
yeah.
What would Jan Kailuweit's point of view on this be at the table to try to find some solutions?
Well, so I have a lot of disjointed observations to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
About yesterday's conversation, yes, you have historic homes right on the other side of the street, and homelessness does not go with historic homes,
mm-hmm.
right? We gave them historic designation because it's important to preserve that part because it reflects Salem's history,
mm-hmm.
and it's there for everybody to enjoy. And then you have this park with this facility, and it's difficult if you allow homeless people in there for the night, and then they're supposed to clear out by 7, and by 8 o'clock it's supposed to be ready for kids playing in the park again.
Right.
But who patrols the parks for any debris that might be left, whether it's needles or feces or whatever the issue might be? It's just, it's really, really tricky. And so that's one observation. Another observation is nobody wants that in their yard, in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Another observation that I think we can do something with is I notice that a lot of folks who are very motivated to help.
Yeah.
Local churches are very
mm-hmm.
involved.
Yes, they
nonprofits
are
very involved. But I've also noticed in the past that it wasn't a coordinated effort.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one church that goes out and just drops off lunches for homeless people. Another church would just drop off sleeping bags, you know, and the next group would try to set them up with cell phones, or everybody just did their own little thing, and it often wasn't very coordinated. That is an observation. But I love the fact that Salem is a very engaged community,
mm-hmm.
and that there are those people who are willing to step out. Because you know what, Denise, I think if somebody can help, it's not a government agent.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody who takes a personal interest,
yeah.
not somebody who's paid from 8 to 5 to do it and then just wants to go home,
yeah.
you know, or go on their, you know, union guaranteed lunch break. But you have volunteers here who are willing to give their time and give sacrificially, who
mm-hmm.
are willing to do a night shift at warming shelters in the middle of the night. Our former mayor and her husband did that,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the middle of the night, just sit there and watch and make sure the place is safe. Those sorts of people, I love that we have them in the community.
Yeah, and they were out at the meeting last night, and I see people who do walk the walk. I see a lot of keyboard warriors, you know, yelling and screaming at the city of Salem, but that's just one part. the city of Salem can't alone solve this problem. And, you know, I will posit also, you're really never, ever going to solve the problem, but we can at least make it better. And I always, you know, to me, the people, I want to see the people that are right on the precipice, that are that one paycheck away, and to wrap around those people to keep them from adding to the population. And then so you keep those people in their homes or in a home, and then work on, you know, sort of the hardest to house. One of the things you made me think of, I remember the Mid-Willamette Valley COG had the homelessness initiative where they had a coordinator who was going in and who went out, and actually she went out and sort of did an inventory of everything that was available to see where there are overlaps or gaps. And then I think, I don't know, I had talked with Kaiser Mayor Kathy Clark, who was part of that. And I think there's a renewed effort to do that again. So there's sort of a central clearinghouse so we know who's doing what. So would you support that?
Yes, I definitely would. I'm excited and I feel good about this because I think we have all the ingredients we need.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to arrange them in the right order, the right timing, and put the right people together. But we cannot solve this without volunteers, mm-hmm. without the community wanting to help. We can't do it without local businesses, and we can't do it without nonprofits. And we have all those people on at the table.
We do.
So I think this is totally doable.
And I want to see less of finger pointing and blame gaming. You know, I saw a lot of, you know, oh, NIMBY, not in my backyard. But, you know, you're right. I mean, if that is your backyard, you don't necessarily want that in your backyard. So it's not to sit there and cast aspersions on people who raise concerns about the Pringle Hall, I think is really unfair. And also to chastise and yell at businesses for not wanting to have to deal with that every time they open up their shop and try to get people to come in is not fair. So I'd like to sort of part the sea of the emotions of it all and start really looking at having a look at the root causes as well. I mean, you don't talk about the addiction factor about this as well.
Yes. I sometimes wonder about just the term homeless.
Yeah.
Some people have since gone to call them houseless.
Yeah.
But that term sometimes makes it sound like this is the primary need they have. It is a need.
It is a need.
But if we were to build our own little hierarchy of needs, you sometimes wonder. There are addiction issues. There mm-hmm. are job issues at the moment, not so much because mm-hmm. we have lots and lots of openings. Whoever wants a job can have one.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other factors that keep those people away from getting a job and getting into a routine of a regular life where you go to work, you get money for it, you use that money to rent a house or buy a house.
Mm-hmm. I like to see, you know, having that relationship you talk about, instead of it's sort of them and us, building that relationship, talk to people, ask them what they need for help instead of making assumptions and being sort of paternalistic about it, thinking that we know all the answers. You just sit down and literally ask people. And if they don't want help, stop giving it to them.
Yeah. Can I tell you a little story?
Sure.
So I have a 10-year-old at home and I'm trying to teach him compassion and money management and all those sorts of things that parents teach the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the day after Christmas, we went out and we bought 10 McDonald's gift cards and we took 10 blank Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go and meet 10 random homeless people to give them a card for Christmas.
Nice.
And we would approach people and ask them, did you get a Christmas card this year? And the answer is usually no. And then we say, can we write you one? And we ask what the name is and write on Dear Anton, Dear Susie or whatever. And a Merry Christmas. And we put a $5 gift card in there from McDonald's, which my son took out of his Christmas money.
Oh, wow.
And we gave it to people. And the first couple we approached, a young man and a young lady, and they were super nice and friendly, soft-spoken, gentle. And they took the envelope, opened it, and were happy. And the young lady turned around and within 10 seconds started swearing and cussing at the wall that was behind us. And I realized that her issue was not the food primarily mm-hmm. or the home, but there were other issues
yeah.
where she went from sweet lady to just yelling and cussing at the wall. And it threw my son for a loop
mm-hmm.
because we had talked about we're going to do this to be nice, but we also want to be safe. I, as a dad, want to keep my son safe in our little adventure downtown. So it gave us lots to think about, and I thought about what is the primary need. You know, we talk about Maslow's hierarchy of
mm-hmm.
needs. What is the hierarchy of needs for those people? Food is on there, shelter's on there, but
mm-hmm.
then there might be mental issues, addiction
treatment.
Issues, and
mm-hmm.
it's very complex.
It is very complex.
What did your son say?
You know, he did not say a whole lot. He
really?
Just observed, and I could tell his wheels were turning.
Mm-hmm.
He's 10, and he's cocky at home with the parents where it's safe. You know, but out there, I'm like, And I thought, you know, maybe this is time for us to go and meet somebody else because I don't want to get in a wrestling match with a homeless person. it was...
He was just pretty much wide-eyed.
So we've done that last year, too, and this is the sort of stuff that we encounter. It's just anecdotal, you know. I don't want to compile any statistics based on that, but we had other situations like this. There was another man we approached downtown outside the Rite Aid and asked what his name was so I can put it on the card, and he didn't say a word. He just rolled up his sleeve, and he showed me a tattoo and showed his last name on there. I'm like, is that your first name or your last name? Mm. And he didn't say anything either. He put the sleeve back, and he reached in his back pocket, and he pulled out his inmate ID, and it had the full name on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I'm like, why doesn't he just say it? You know, why?
Right.
It just feels so absurd, a little Twilight-ish. But so they are just, the needs are very multifaceted. And anyway, the goal of that event was just to teach my son some life skills mm-hmm. that I think would be important.
Mm-hmm. I think
him.
So. I mean, so, I can...
But I'm learning from it too, anecdotally, what the needs are, and I get to know some of the people, and it's just truly heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good life lesson for both of you, basically.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I think so. And there are lumping all people together in sort of one homogenous group doesn't help anybody. Again, too, you really need to sort of isolate the needs, and there are a certain population that does choose to be on the street. My concern has always been for women and children. They're very, very vulnerable. I'm always concerned about that. It's nice to see that there's going to be some more resources put there based on what the city decided last night for women and children. I recently spoke. Well, actually, we need to take a break, don't we? Here, I'm going off on a tangent.
Yes, you are.
We are going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side of the break with that tangent. But you're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues. Here's Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thanks, Rich Kansky, for that.
Yes, sir. Welcome back.
We are back. I'm going to pick up my little tangent. It wasn't a tangent, but I did a year end on a friend's podcast, and I ended up meeting a gentleman who works for the Parks Department down in Corvallis, who I think we're going to have on the show because, boy, does he have some stories. But we were talking about the concern really specifically for women and for children, and he was talking about cleaning out some of the camps down in Corvallis, and there's kids' toys everywhere, but they never see any kids. So it's like,
weird.
You just, where are the children? And I don't, and that's concerning. I mean, it's a dangerous existence out there. And I worry about women and children.
Yes, we have school age kids in Salem who have no home. Sometimes they couch surf, mm-hmm. live at friends' houses here for a couple of days, there for a couple of days, but they're still considered homeless.
Yeah,
they do not have a permanent home.
Yeah, when I drove a school bus years ago, I had a number of homeless kids on my route, and they would live at the extended stay. I had one little boy who was a delight. I loved him. I still remember him. He lived with his dad at an extended stay hotel, and they stayed there as long as they could and to keep paying for it. And he was on my route, so I saw him every day. And the struggles of being homeless and trying to be in school. You're hungry, you're insecure, and then you have to try to do math. No.
Yes, and then the peer pressure issues,
right.
You know, about the brand clothing or the brand of cell phone or the music you listen to. It's very hard when you're homeless and you're a kid.
Because
you're still trying to make sense of the world.
Right.
And this is the world you experience in your formative years.
Yes.
That's hard.
Having grown up a poor kid myself, the insecurity of not knowing, you know, is the check going to be in the mail? I'm literally a child of a starving artist here. It's not romantic or glamorous. But I understand that where you really are insecure, you don't know if your water is going to be turned off. And that's, we were never homeless, but we were pretty close sometimes. And so that's a very, very rough way to grow up.
Yes.
Yeah. So we were also talking about that there seems to be a lot of well-meaning and absolutely well-meaning people that are trying to do this over here. There's an effort over here. We were talking Give a Shirt, the program that was a few years ago that was started by a student.
It was a teenager.
A teenager.
A local teenager.
Yeah. And then, so there have been efforts. There have been meals under the bridge that I don't believe they're allowed to do anymore. Certain churches were doing that. And I think it's not necessarily overlapping, but I think there's probably more gaps. But you did talk about how do we find out who's doing what and have better coordinated care, for lack of a better term.
Yes. So I believe we have all the resources we need in the city. Like I mentioned earlier,
uh-huh.
we have the people who are motivated.
Mm-hmm.
We have the nonprofits, we have the government agencies, and the city can play a role in bringing those together and making sure that to some extent they're funded where possible, or at least helped with the grant writing maybe, or whatever that looks like. I don't want to sound too prescriptive, mm-hmm. because sure. I will just display my ignorance at this point. But I'm excited. I think this is totally solvable. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you see the level of engagement, the level of passion, I agree with you. I think it's there. The will is certainly there. Now, where we got to find the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit. One of the other things that you were that you hear on the doorstep is the infrastructure.
Yes.
Traffic. Salem is getting busier. One of the things we pride ourselves on in Salem is a beautiful, walkable, lovely downtown. One of the things I notice when I'm at the convention center for an event or a conference is the big trucks that are constantly going through, that are idling. You know, how do those two things jive?
So let me just define how I see infrastructure.
Okay.
To me, that includes not just roads and bridges, uh-huh. but also water, gas, electric, mm-hmm. sewer, those sorts of things.
The whole thing.
Yes, the whole thing. And during the last campaign 4 years ago, I picked on a very non-sexy subject, and that is sewer lines. Downtown, we have sewer lines.
That's decidedly unsexy.
Yes, it is. But they date back to the 20s, and out of sight, out of mind, and nobody sees them, but occasionally collapse. Ooh. And if your toilet doesn't flush, all of a sudden you realize it's there.
Right.
You take that for granted.
Yes.
But to me, infrastructure is at the core of what a city provides. You know, there are the fun issues, but infrastructure along with public safety, yes. those are the two big issues.
As far as I'm concerned, they really should be the only two. You kind of have scope creep when you walk outside of that and you get into other issues.
Yes, so bridges and roads, that's one thing, yeah. but then there's all the stuff that happens underground, and that needs attention too. I personally hate all the power lines above ground. They look ugly.
They do.
And they're dangerous.
They're still everywhere, yeah. and it feels like it's 1980 still. You know, I go to other cities, you can't see a power line anywhere.
So they put them all underground.
Yes.
Oh. I just moved to a new neighborhood. There's no power lines for
really?
Probably 2 miles. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not saying this will be a major agenda item for me. It is just an observation, just living mm-hmm. in the city, living in an older neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody comes and trims that tree in front of my house to an awful shape because the power line runs right through it, that's part of infrastructure too.
And that's true. You've got these sort of like left angle trees that have got like a weird
yes. So all that is infrastructure.
Yeah.
And that's why when there's an accident, somebody runs against a power pole, all of a sudden the light is out in the neighborhood. Right. That's a livability issue too.
That's true.
Right? And sometimes you're without power for an hour or two, sometimes a night, and usually that happens in winter. So far we've been good this year, but
right. We really have we even had winter? I don't
Not
think we've had. What did
maybe
we have? We had
week.
About 2.5 minutes of snow, and then that was it.
Yeah. Well, what about you? Also noticed that the water lines break occasionally too, and that's a big issue as well.
I had that at my house 2 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh huh. Yeah. How old are those lines?
Unfortunately, it broke on my side of the meter, not the city side.
So oh, whoops!
I had to foot the bill.
Yeah. That's...
And do you live in? You live in an older home?
1925.
Ah, 1920 yes. over here. So we deal with the same issues too. Yes, those old homes—they have lots of charm.
And some of them still have the original water and sewer lines,
Ooh.
And they need attention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. With the older homes, we talk about Ward 1 as a lot of historic homes. I mean, you've got a lot of trees that tend to buckle sidewalks. Are there any issues specific to Ward 1 that maybe other wards don't necessarily have?
No, I think we touch on them because we're right in the middle of the city.
Uh-huh.
Traffic is the huge one because yeah. everybody going east to west, north to south, yeah. they always drive through our neighborhood unless they're just an I-5 passing by. But everybody at some point goes downtown, so that's an issue. Yes, you mentioned the trees.
Mm-hmm.
We love the designation being a tree city.
Yes.
And it looks awesome. We have people taking pictures of trees in our neighborhood, and it is gorgeous. But yeah, they do rip up the sidewalk
they
too.
They do. Does homeowners have to pay for that? Or is that, if it's a sidewalk in front of your house, is that a homeowner thing or a city thing?
So if the city will fix the sidewalk, and when it's in good shape, it gets handed over to the homeowner.
Okay.
And any damage after that is, the homeowner has to pay for it.
Okay.
So what if like you were saying, the tree, say it's between the sidewalk and the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it damages not only the sidewalk, but it damages the curb and part of the street. Does the city take care
so
of that?
So this is a sore subject. With
yeah, I'm sure it is.
Citizens downtown. I actually served on the mayor's sidewalk repair task force back in 2007.
And you're the guy to ask.
Yeah.
And we talked about this for a long time.
I'm sure.
Fascinating subject. But you know what? It that's a livability issue as well. If you've got buckled sidewalks, I mean, you talk about ADA accessibility for people in wheelchairs trying to walk along. You can't.
It is. Yeah. I have one friend in the neighborhood who is 100% blind, walks with a cane, and I don't know how she does it. Sometimes I see her downtown, like, how did you get here from your house?
Oh my god!
Because I know it's like 5 blocks.
Wow!
And there she is. And when I see her, I'm like, I call out to her, and then we walk together for mm-hmm. a little bit, and I'm just amazed. But yeah, those sidewalks. There's something else if you have issues.
Yeah, yeah. I'd probably trip on them, and I can see. So there you go.
Oh, but I do love that. I work downtown, and I kind of, that neighborhood butts up against where my office is, and those big, wide sort of boulevard streets with the trees overhanging. I mean, it's just gorgeous. It really is a beautiful part of Salem. And
yeah.
I just want to make sure that it stays that way. We're going to take a quick break. Oh, we don't have to? Okay. Well, then I wanted to go then, Jan. Your love of Salem always comes through whenever I talk to you. You love it. You chose to live here. You didn't grow up here. You said you have a 10-year-old son. What are some of the things about Salem that you love as far as fun things to do, family things to do, things that you, if you brought somebody to visit you, where would you take them?
There are so many things
I know.
Awesome about Salem.
Yeah.
I, for one, just the geographic location between the mountains and the beach.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yes, an hour each way, mountains
yes.
or coast.
Should we go skiing today or should we go surfing today? such a hard decision. That's an awesome choice to have.
Mm-hmm.
Within the city limits, I love Minto Brown Park.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's just outside my ward, but that is probably my favorite park. If I want to decompress and I want to, you know, have a little bit of solitude, just walk in nature by myself a little bit, Minto Brown is awesome for that. And you can pick blackberries, and I've seen deer there. I've seen coyotes, a skunk once. I ran. It's a great park. For going out, my wife and I, we love to sometimes go out and eat. Our son is old enough now. We can leave him home alone for an hour and just walk into downtown. And there's some great eateries we like to go to.
Yeah, Salem restaurant scene is really... Salem used to be, I remember growing up here, you know, back in the day in the 80s. Salem is lame. Salem is lame. Salem is not lame anymore. Salem restaurant scene is just wicked cool.
When I moved here in the late 90s and you want to go somewhere Sunday night at 5 or 7, there was
good
sidewalks
luck.
Were folded up and there was nothing to do.
Yeah.
Now we got comedy. We have movie theaters. The mall stays open longer. There are restaurants. There's a lot to do downtown, even on a Sunday night.
Yes. And you being where you live, I mean, you can pretty much walk anywhere you want to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's nice. So you're a fan then of whatever, the Peter Courtney, the bridge? Because that's been had kind of mixed reviews. People are kind of, there's a little bit of love-hate going on with that bridge.
I totally see the benefit for the city.
Yeah.
I just don't like giving up my park. I've been there so often, I felt like, this is my park. I like it there. And you know, when there's only one entrance, you have less people. And
right.
so I find that solitude that as a city dweller, I need to every once in a while. But now it's so easy to get there. You have to, like, go further into the park. So I support it as a citizen, personally. I just, people should get their own park.
Nice.
That's mine.
One of the other things, and I was just reading because I had a lot to do with the Eco Earth when it back, I think, in 2000, the early part of the aughts when that thing came up. And now it's sort of in a state of disrepair, which is very, very sad. We were very involved in that. I think I have a couple tiles up there on there that we've sponsored. Do you support the refurbishing of that as part of it? I mean, it's kind of an iconic when you see the pictures now of Salem. You see the Eco Earth, you see the bridge. That's kind of an iconic view of Salem.
I loved it because it brought citizens together.
Yeah.
From different countries, they sponsor tiles that represent their country or their part of the continent. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Anything that brings citizens together is great.
Yeah, I support refurbishing it. I think it's beautiful.
I do too.
Yeah, it would be sad to see it. After all the effort, all the art, all the artisans that went into making those tiles, I have an orca up on the top of it. I can't see it from the ground.
Aww.
I have to kind of climb up. But
don't do that.
No, that would be dangerous. So, all right, we're going to take our last break. You are listening to Wednesdays with Denise. We're interviewing Jan Kailovide, who's running for Ward 1 Salem City Council. We will be right back on KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
Now back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to our final segment with Jan Kailuvite, who is running for Ward 1 Salem City Council. So, Jan, we've covered a lot of issues today, but the bottom line is you've got to win this race to get a seat at the table.
Yes, I do.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you are doing, you've got coming up, and how people can help you.
Awesome. There's a lot people can do. I hope my message resonates with some of your listeners, especially mm-hmm. folks in Ward 1 mm-hmm. downtown. So there are a couple of things we can do. There's a typical campaign stuff, like I have to do fundraising. I have to identify people who are willing to put my sign in their front yard. Hopefully, there'll be some folks going door to door with me. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Really, these races are won on the doorstep. You need the people out there going door to door. One thing we should note that this is not an at-large like the school board is. This is only people who live in your ward will vote
yes,
for you.
Yes, that's correct.
But the other thing is if you do live on a busy street like I do, I will have one of your signs there. You don't necessarily have to live in the ward to put a sign up.
So yes, if you live next to a major arterial and you get lots of traffic, put one of my signs in your yard.
Put one of them up. But I can't stress the importance of that door-to-door. I mean, especially these are very grassroots. They're very local. Salem City Council affects your life far more than most other races.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You know, another thing we can do is if you want to get a couple of neighbors together for a coffee or ice cream thing, invite me over. I'll come for an hour. We'll chat. We'll introduce, my campaign, my issues, and that'd be another thing we can do.
And those are always very fun. So we want to talk about, too, because really this election is decided in the May primary.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that. We have a shorter window. What happens in May?
Well, so most people focus on the presidential election right now. Mm-hmm. And so one side already has a president picked and the other party has to narrow down in the primary. Mm-hmm. For city council races, if there are more than two candidates and neither gets 50% of the vote, then the two top will go on in November. I don't remember when that happened last.
I don't either.
If ever. So in theory, it could spill over into November, but usually it's decided in May. In my ward, I'm aware of myself and one opponent, mm-hmm. and whoever wins the majority of votes is it.
And so then you win that, and then you get to cool your heels until January of 2021.
Yes, then it's vacation time. Get rid of the campaigning stress.
So are you do you enjoy campaigning?
I'm a people person.
Yeah.
I love going out, talking to people. Mm-hmm. It's the behind-the-scenes work that I don't like, the accounting piece and sitting there and trying to draft newsletter text, that sort of thing. I can do it, but it's not my favorite.
Are you finding that because social media is, it's been around for over a decade now. I think Facebook came out in like 2007, I think, and Twitter and all the other lovely platforms out there. Can you hear the disdain in my voice for them?
A little bit.
But they're kind of a necessary evil. Are you finding that you are able to reach more people with social media, or is it still kind of traditional knocking on doors, phone calls, things like that?
It's all of the above. I do see when I come home from work and I quickly peruse my Facebook page. Yep, there's two more likes, three more likes, and yay, you've reached 300, and then yay, you've reached whatever. So yes, there's interest there, but it goes always. It there's the personal platform, mm-hmm. there's the social media. Yep.
So anybody listening too that has an interest, if they've got an organization to, yes, invite you to come speak.
I would love to.
Yeah.
That's the part I like.
Yeah. And actually interacting with people. See, that's the part that would, public speaking. I can be on a microphone in front of, however many and fine, but public speaking, I get a little.
I'm an extrovert.
Thing, yeah.
I admit I like the attention.
This probably should be a prerequisite for running for office then.
It is. Folks that like to run for office are often very self-centered people, I think.
Not you, though.
They care.
No, all the others.
They care. And it's passion, and it's that understanding. Yes. It's servant leadership, because you get on Salem City Council, you're doing this for free, that big giant paycheck of 0.00.
It's a volunteer job.
Yeah, yeah. And so I know you can... People, you're never going to please all the people all the time. You've got to be ready for that. I mean, you've been involved in budget committee and things like that. You have to make decisions based on what? What's kind of your lens for decision making?
Well, and there are two sources I look at for confirmation. One is the people I represent from my ward. Mm-hmm. That's the way it was on the budget committee. Mm-hmm. What is my ward saying? But then there's a city at large too.
Yeah.
You don't just make decisions just for your ward, right?
Yeah.
The folks that live in East Salem get to talk about the bridge too, not just the Ward 1 people.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and there are a number of issues that really are citywide.
Yes.
What's your main thing that you want to get accomplished in the first I don't know, first 6 months, if you get elected.
So. You know, I thought about that the other day. Should I have a 100-day plan?
Yeah, right.
Like
first
my first
100
days in office.
Yeah.
I think the issues we have are very large, and, yeah. and for one, I cannot do this by myself.
Right.
And even the council altogether cannot do this by itself. It takes all of us. And I keep coming back to the two issues because they're pressing not just my ward, but for all of Salem, that is infrastructure and public safety and homelessness. Those yeah. are the two. And infrastructure fits right in the
yeah,
middle.
It does.
Yes.
And the importance of engaging in your city government. It, all too often, because those who sit in those chairs are not mind readers. If people don't communicate to you what their needs are, what their wishes are, you don't know. And so many times you've got one group that will be representing one side of an issue who is mobilized, who does get down there, and that's the only issue that gets heard. So, I mean, I'm seeing more engagement, especially on the homelessness issue, where you've got all sides of it trying to come together to try to fix this.
Yes, that is a very visible issue yes. at the moment. I would like to make sure the invisible issues don't get neglected too, and the underground infrastructure piece mm-hmm. is part of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay,
sure, so, absolutely.
It is. So where do people go to find out more about you? I'm assuming you got a website, Facebook. Let's
yes.
run down all your details.
So my website is voteforjan.com. Or vote for Jan.
Vote for Jan.
All in one word. No dots anywhere in there. Voteforjan.com. And then there's a Facebook page, Jan Kailewhite for Salem City Council. Put that in Facebook. You'll find it right there.
Okay.
If you want to contact me by email, electjankailewhite@gmail.com.
Okay. All right.
All in one word. Electjankailewhite.
Okay. So people want to, you know, and they can go out there and then they can let you know, I want to put a sign in my yard. I want to host a coffee. I want to endorse you. I want to,
yep.
you know, there's
I want to volunteer.
I want to volunteer. I want to go knock on those doors with Jan.
I would love that. Jan is available.
And that's the thing. I can't stress that enough, that knocking on doors, man, you win those races at the door.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people, you know, they're not going to see the advertising.
They're not on social media.
Not on social
media. We're a small community.
Yeah.
2 degrees of separation,
yeah,
right?
Right, right. There you go.
And I think people really appreciate a candidate coming to the door and asking them what their needs are. What do you know?
Yep.
Hi, I'm Jan Kailewhite. I'm running for Ward 1. Let's have a conversation.
What do you think?
Yeah, yep. And those can take a lot of time, but that's really important. Okay, well, I want to thank you, Jan. I've enjoyed our conversation today. Learned a lot about Jan today.
I learned a lot.
I hope our listeners, if they're interested, will take a look at your information. We'll post that in show notes so that people don't have to be writing frantically while they're at a stoplight. They'll be able to just click on these things and go learn more about Jan. But Jan Kailewhite, running for Ward 1 Salem City Council, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Denise. Thank you, Dave.
You
it
betcha.
Was fun.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. So again, Salem City Council races. These are the importance. All the odd ones are up this year. All of them have good candidates. Ward 3 still needs a candidate. We're working on that.
Really? Ward 3 needs
yeah.
one?
Yeah. Well, Ward 3 has a progressive candidate right now, so there is no counterbalance to that progressive candidate. So
gotcha.
we need to be out there looking for that. So, so all kinds of good stuff.
Well, we'll try and get somebody on.
Yeah.
At least talk to all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Before
you want to learn about all the candidates that are running, and there are, I believe, there are two people races. In all
awesome.
Of them. All right, this has been a good show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks
for joining us for Wednesdays with Denise, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, there's no...
This has been Len Benton Tractors Newsmakers. Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.